This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
It's Lefty Pinko's time again here on Joy 94.9. I have to tell you again, Brian's not with me tonight. It's just Kath Duncan here in the hot seat as Brian wings his way off to a work trip in Sydney. But I know where I'd rather be, and that's right here tonight with our special guest. Now, you know, this is very exciting. As it turns out, this is a very exciting week for me because at the end of the week, I'm going to be emceeing this literary session called Undercurrents with three authors. I'm not going to give the names away right now. I'm going to do that right at the end, except for my guest tonight, poet and author of a book that's just come out, a memoir called Ghost Wife. Great title, eh? We're going to find out more about the title in just a moment. The author's name, Michelle Dikanoski. She joins us here tonight, originally from Rockhampton, Brisbane time, Melbourne time, all over the world time. Hi, Michelle. Hi, thanks, Kat, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Hey, can you tell us now, Ghost Wife came out last year. And Electricity for Beginners, your poetry book, came out a few years before that.
2 years earlier, yeah.
And so how did you make that transition from poetry to fiction? Well, you know, memoir, novel-ish thing.
Well, I was always writing both forms, I guess. But when I got married to my partner, Heather, in Canada, I knew that I wanted to write this as a book that I guess a broader audience might read,
yep.
And poetry wasn't going to be the right form for this, so I switched to memoir, and that's how that began.
So it's quite an epic tale. Michelle goes from, you know, being in Australia and, you know, some of her sort of early love life, meeting Heather at uni, and then, you know, the romance takes off. And in fact, you got married only after about a year, or you agreed to get married after only a year of knowing each other.
Yeah, it was about a year. It was fairly sudden in a way. So when we got married, yeah, we'd only been together about 2 years,
yeah,
at
right.
that point.
A whirlwind. No, I guess 2 years is cool. I was
it's
about to
okay.
say whirlwind romance.
So some
but
people,
really.
You know, some people get married after 6 weeks.
So. I know. Who understands that? So we're going to be talking all things marriage equality tonight for the next hour. We're talking about that. We're also about sort of family dynamics. And also, I think for people who are really into that sort of, you know, memoir style, it's a thing about, you know, how do you choose what to put in and what to leave out? And of course, as we do every week, we feature our guests' favourite music. And this is one of those tracks. It's a very well-known track. If there's anyone out there that doesn't know this track well, you know, that's a disgrace. You're with Joy 94.9. Lefty Pinko's here. Stay with us. It's just amazing.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
I love it. That's B-52s, of course, Rock Lobster. What does that – why did you pick that track for us, Michelle?
I used to play that song when I lived briefly in Melbourne for a year in the late 90s, and I would go to Dollar Pots Night at the Glasshouse Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And I would put a dollar in the jukebox and play that song every time. I went every week hoping that I would meet a nice girl, and it never happened. And I would play that, and yes, it takes me back to that time.
That is terrible bad luck, you know, because I've been to the Glasshouse a few times, and every time I get chatted up by some really drunk young chick.
Didn't happen, unfortunately.
Yeah. I haven't followed up on it either because I haven't thought that was such a good idea. But that is particular bad luck.
Mm.
Now, speaking of bad luck, well, not really, this concept of a ghost wife, you know, the title of your memoir, I was quite fascinated by where that idea comes from, the ghost wife. Can you tell us about that?
Okay, so there's a few different parts to the ghost wife's idea. So first of all, Heather and I were going to Toronto to get married, and I was struck by the idea that we're having an actual marriage in Toronto City Hall, and then when we cross the border out of Canada a few days later, where does the wedding go? Where does the marriage go? We're suddenly unmarried in the United States and in Australia. So this idea that the marriage would be a kind of apparition was really strange to me, and I thought, well, you know, so many of these kinds of stories are hidden in our history, and I want to try and record this. So against all this forgetting and this covering up, I want to say, no, we were here. This marriage did happen, and this is the story that I will tell you. But when I was preparing to write it, I also discovered that in China it has been possible, still is possible, to marry a ghost. So a living person can marry a ghost, or two ghosts can be married to each other. And there's an entire, you know, wedding ceremony. And the wedding is seen, the marriage is seen as completely legitimate, to the point that, you know, in some cases, young women who were silk workers would sometimes compete to get the hand in marriage of a dead person because they could have the financial independence without
having to put up with the husband.
So I thought, well, that's really interesting that at different times in different places, the idea of what a marriage is quite different. So I wanted to use the ghost metaphor as a sort of central structuring device in the book, and that's what ended up happening.
And why did you decide to we'll leave that question for just a moment, because it's that time for some amazing Joy announcements. I'm speaking to Michelle Dikanoski, and we're talking about her memoir Ghost Wife. Michelle is a writer, a poet, and an editor, and this is Lefty Pinkos, of course. Stay with us.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
And I have the lovely Michelle Dikanoski in the studio with me tonight. Michelle has released, sort of towards the end of last year really, a book called Ghost Wife. Born in Rockhampton and ending up in Melbourne, as many great people do. Now, Michelle, you go to America with your American girlfriend to get married in Canada, because that's the only way you can do it. And so really the backbone of the story is all that adventure, your family, your story, her story, and so forth. But interleaved in that story are these little historical moments of other people who, you know, lived multi-gendered or, you know, just, you know, less conventional lives of the time.
Yes.
And I particularly fell in love with these two Brisbane ladies, Bedford and Cooper. And so you must have found them in your research. Can you tell us a bit about them?
So I went looking for other people who were these kinds of ghost wives, but historically I wanted to know who they were and you know, to give these histories to the places that we were living in or passing through. So Cooper and Bedford lived in Brisbane in the late 1800s and early 1900s. Cooper was a doctor, and her lifelong companion worked in various organisations, but they travelled the world together and lived in a series of houses in inner city Brisbane. They came from England together, actually, as well. And then they're buried side by side in a grave in Toowong Cemetery in Brisbane. It's basically the size of a double bed. It looks like they're just, you know, lying there next to each other.
And how did you find that story?
Thankfully for me, there were lots of queer historians who'd already done a lot of work. So Clive Moore's book about queer Queensland was really great for that. And there were other historians whose work I looked at for stories from Melbourne and stories from Toronto and all the different places we went through in the book. I wanted to dig up these stories and tell them alongside our stories and say, look, people say this has no history. I will show you this history, you know, and here's our history in the making as well alongside it.
And you were going to read for us a section about a Melbourne person called Bill Edwards.
Yes.
So he's a grab from Ghost Wife.
Okay. And so this is just after I've spent the night with a girl for the first time in Collingwood.
Great place.
And this is from Ghost Wife. 100 years before me, Bill Edwards is wandering those same Melbourne streets and having far greater success with women than I ever had. Oh, he might have trouble with the ladies once he woos them, but he never has trouble wooing them in the first place. Why would he? He's witty, lively, polite. He's a stylish dresser. He's a little on the short side, but what he lacks in stature he makes up for in charm. He also has a secret of the monumental kind. He is, or was, a she. In 1892, at the age of 18, Marion Edwards leaves her hometown in rural Victoria. A few years later, she shows up in Melbourne dressed as a man. She forges a new identity as Bill Edwards, jack of all trades, ladies' man, and punter. Bill works in pubs, part owns a racehorse, and has a remarkable memory for horse racing records. He's often called on to settle drunken disputes in his favourite local, a hotel on Johnston Street in Collingwood. Just near the Glasshouse Hotel, actually. In 1905, the police catch Bill and a mate apparently breaking into the Studley Arms Hotel in Wellington Street at 3:30 in the morning. Bill's friend eludes capture, but Bill is apprehended by officers who have no inkling that he spent his first 18 years as a girl. Bill's landlady, a woman named Lucy Minahan, bails him out. He promptly skips town and heads for Queensland. Living in inner-city Brisbane, he continues to pass as a man. He works as a barman, then a cook, and then a French polisher. After 14 months of evading recapture, Bill is apprehended and taken into custody. It is then that his sex is discovered.
Wow. So that's a taste of one of those stories that sort of that works its way in and out of the text. Now, why take such a personal story, such a personal journey, and turn it into a book? Could you just not resist, or, you know, the political kind of, you know, intent of the book?
I think it was a political intent. It was really important for me, you know. So many of these kinds of stories, like Bill Edwards' story and Cooper and Bedford's story, we don't know them because people say, well, they were just friends, or it wasn't like that. Or so I wanted to deliberately set out and say, I'm going to record this history. So there is absolutely no doubt what Heather and I mean to each other, what we were to each other. You know, in 100 years, people won't be able to say, well, they were just friends.
Yeah, exactly. How does your family feel about their portrayal? Because as you read the book, you sort of get this sort of division happening there between how your partner's family respond to you and how your family respond to the whole idea of the marriage. And your mother has read the book now. How do they feel about their portrayal, their part in the book?
Mum is very happy. Mum really likes the book. I think she's very... You know, she's still my mum and she's proud that I've written a book. So, you know, I think she understands where I'm coming from. If anything, the book gave me a forum to be able to write for her. I wasn't just writing for the future. I was also writing for her in a way to say this is what this situation means to me. And to try and have her understand it as well as writing for Heather to document, you know, our relationship as well. So mum is fine with the book. Dad hasn't read it because he doesn't read books. So that's fine with me. There are things I would prefer him not to read about, you know, my sex life and things like that. So yeah, we'll leave it like that.
And how does Heather feel about being in the spotlight?
I don't know. I think she's comfortable with it. She sees it as, you know, writing a book about a relationship is a kind of a funny thing to do.
I bet.
So I think she sees it as, I think I don't think it's hard for her, but I think she sees it as it's kind of my thing. I mean, it's connected to me being a writer as well, obviously. So it's about her, and it certainly is kind of, it can feel a little bit uncomfortable because it's her life too. But she's been very good about saying, you know, write it. And then, you know, she hasn't said, don't write about this thing or don't write about that thing. She's very open. So.
Wow. So it's sort of, it's been well received by your sort of nearest and dearest.
Yeah.
And has your mum come around a bit? Like,
yeah, mum's come around a lot. I mean, the wedding was actually in December 2005, so it's actually a long time.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
you know, and still nothing has changed in Australia, which is kind of horrifying.
Yes.
But so mum is much more comfortable with everything and will tell me, you know, ring me up to tell me there was something about gay marriage on the news, or, you know, cut out something out of a magazine and send it to me and things like that. So she's a lot, her position has changed a lot since 10 years ago.
Good to hear. I'm talking to Michelle Dikanoski. We're talking about Ghost Wife. This is Lefty Pinko's Kath Duncan with you tonight as Brian wings his way off to Sydney. And, oh yes, that's another thing I have to tell you. Keep bringing those memberships in, because you have until next Monday to go in the draw for the huge prizes that came from our radiothon. And stay tuned with us right now, because we're going to talk more about the book, more about love, more about marriage.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Apparently that's I Need a Man.
I Need a Man.
Why do you like that song?
Have you seen the film clip?
No.
It's amazing. I remember seeing it as a kid, and Annie Lennox is... she's this unstoppable sort of sexual force. You just have to see it. Yeah, she's amazing. So I had to.
So Annie sells the song. She's gorgeous. We're all in love with her in the 80s. There's absolutely no doubt about that. So here we are. The book is out. I guess, you know, the thread that binds it all together is your fight for marriage equality, or your personal story through marriage equality, because, you know, lots of us sort of go, well, why bother? You know, why not just have a commitment ceremony or whatever? Does the legal thing really matter? How do you respond to those sort of questions?
Well, I mean, I don't think everyone should get married, but I think everyone should have the opportunity to get married if they want to. And it does matter. Like, for example, you know, Heather is American, and since DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, was repealed last year, that now means that I count as her spouse for immigration purposes and things like that. So it makes a huge difference. So it's not just a symbolic act.
In America now, it's still not recognised? Because there's some states they have kind of come round, yeah?
Yeah, it's complicated. So marriage is still regulated by the states, but it depends on whether it's for immigration purposes,
right,
or, you know, taxation purposes, or for what kind of... But certainly, at the federal level, same-sex marriage is now recognised.
Now, you've followed the marriage equality. Have you been to any of the rallies in Melbourne?
I have.
It's just so cool.
Yeah.
Just huge. I think we have the biggest rallies down here in Australia, from what I can work out, in terms of marriage equality, like, you know, the big coming together, the big activist thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, how hopeful are you that there may be any bigger changes in that, you know, on a federal level? Do you think you're going to see it in your lifetime or not?
Yes. Yes.
You do?
Yes. Yes. You know, when I first started writing the book, I thought I had to write it really quickly because the law would change and then no one would want to publish the book. It will change. You know, hopefully I have a long lifetime ahead of me, and so, yeah, it will change, you know, soon. It has to. The push is there. The popular opinion is that this will change. I don't know why it hasn't.
Would you do the thing again? Do the marriage?
I'm married. I'm not getting married again.
Okay. So sort of once is enough. Now, look, I know, you know, there's lots of people out there who just love all the frippery around weddings and the dress and the this and that and the other. Tell us a bit about the day, you know, what you can kind of pull together. And I know in the book it sort of like spans quite a bit, but I know everyone's dying to hear a little bit about what actually happened that day.
Well, it was in Toronto City Hall. So I spent the previous night with my friend Egg, who was my only, the only kind of representative from my side who was there.
Good old Egg.
Yeah, it was great. So, and we grew up together in Rockhampton, so it was kind of amazing that she was able to come from her home now in England to Toronto to be my, you know, witness and. So it was freezing cold.
Oh.
I was totally inappropriately dressed because, you know, it was basically winter.
And you had a nice magenta frock on.
Yeah, with shoestring straps, which was, you know, not appropriate for the freezing outside. You know, there were people ice skating outside Toronto City Hall after we came out. But, you know, it was exactly what you would expect it to be. It was terrifying, and it wasn't helped by the fact that it was supposed to be just me and Heather and a couple of our friends, and Heather's mum, Rosemary, and grandfather and uncle all showed up unexpectedly, and so I'd never met them before, and so suddenly I wasn't just getting married, I was also meeting all my in-laws.
Wow.
And that's quite a striking moment when you step out of the lift and see that you're not just getting married, you're also meeting the family.
And they welcomed you?
Oh, they were very welcoming. Yeah, they were really fantastic. So,
and tell us a bit about the vows. Were they the same vows that we, you know, see on TV, or, you know, people who've actually gone through with a wedding? I haven't. Are they the same vows?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone has different vows and you can change it, but it was pretty much, you know, the standard, like you see on TV, all the time, you know, to have and to hold, you know, for richer, for poorer, kind of thing. So,
and how did it feel to say I do? What did it really feel like?
I think it was such a momentous time, and you've been planning for so long. You just can't wait, actually, till the moment is over, almost. I know you're not supposed to say that, but you're just like, I just want to be married, you know? Just let's get this bit over. And then you're married, and you're like, it is the most, it's kind of amazing, because you're like, I'm now this thing that I wanted to be. I've come all the way here, and I just married this woman. That's an amazing feeling. She's my wife. And then we ran around calling each other wife, you know.
For a few days, yeah. Whatever. A few months or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, in the rest of the journey while you're overseas, you sort of, you wander around the States a little bit. Tell us a bit about your impressions. And, like, my impression of the States is that they love Australians and they love our funny accent and all the rest of it. Like, is that what you found?
Yeah, they really do. So everyone was really welcoming wherever we went. I have a bit of a problem in that no one ever seems to understand what I'm saying. So I get a little bit frustrated if I go to cafes or anything because...
And you ask for something and they go, what?
Yeah, they just... Sometimes they don't even say what. They just look at me. And so, you know, that's a challenge.
Yeah.
So I'm trying. You know, we've returned a few times since being married. So I'm doing my best to communicate, I guess.
Now, back here in Australia, has marriage changed your day to day? You know, just your life together. Has it, you know, brought anything to that?
I think it has for me. I'm someone who. I wasn't sure that if Heather wanted to be with me, and if she, you know, she said she wanted to be together, but, you know, I really liked the kind of certainty that the marriage gives you. And everyone knows, of course, marriages break up. That does happen. But formalizing the relationship in that way was really important to me and gave me a big sense of security that... I didn't previously had, and I know that, you know, that's not for everyone, but for me it was really important. So it enabled me to just relax and accept that we were together and that was that, and, you know,
and make it
yeah, or just accept that it was working and stop worrying about things so much, just go with it, you know.
That sounds pretty good. I'm talking to Michelle Dikanoski here. This is, of course, Lefty Pinko's on Joy 94.9. Kath with you tonight. We're talking about Ghost Wife, Michelle's sort of memoir of a journey through sort of marriage equality, same-sex marriage, however you want to call it. Right now, just time now for some announcements. Stay with us.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Martha and the Vandellas with Echo Beach. And why did you pick that one?
Well, actually, that one was more for Heather, really, because she met Martha from Martha and the Muffins.
No.
Yeah, yeah. So it's one of her favourite songs. So I thought, I'll do that.
So there's to you out there, Heather, for being, you know, the star of the book. Well, one of the stars of the book. Certainly a central character. It's Lefty Pinkos here. I'm talking to Michelle Dikanoski, and we're talking about Ghost Wife, because we're coming at the end of the week. Michelle and two other writers, Kelly Gardner and Maxine
Beniba Clark.
Yes, with Foreign Soil, are all having this big sort of literary women's night called Undercurrents at Hares and Hyenas. Mm. And I'm emceeing, so it's going to be good. No, I didn't mean it in an egotistical way like that, but it's really cool. So it's one of the few times I've actually had to read three new books in the space of a few weeks, and I'm totally enjoying it. So Ghost Wife came out. How has the reception been, you know, from the public, reviewers, stuff like that?
Reviewers were really positive about it. And the thing that made me really happy was just regular people as well. You know, hearing from people that they gave it to their aunt or their mum or their grandma, and that it changed people's minds.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
That was, you know, that was amazing.
Because that's sort of, that must feel like you've sort of done the right thing, or it's rewarding in some way, hey?
Absolutely, you know. And hearing from people who just read the book and feel like, you know, I've sort of told their story as well, you know, that was really, it was really great.
Mm. Can I ask a personal question? It's just like I was a little bit... I was hoping to get to the sexy bits, and there's this one sex scene in it, but there's, you know, I sorry if this is embarrassing and all, but there's no sex in there between you and Heather, and I guess I wanted that. So why did you decide, or, you know, was that deliberate or whatever, to not have a sexy scene or sexy scenes?
Well, I mean, there is a, you know, a kind of ellipsis at a key moment where, you know, if you use your imagination, you then, you know, the sex is there.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But I'll talk to you about that later.
Okay.
But, you know, I actually, there is a sex scene, as you sort of intimated, between me and someone else previously when I'm younger. So it's not entirely sex-free, but I didn't want to... You know, there is a high level of exposure in some ways when you're writing a memoir. It's highly crafted, but it's also exposing as well. And I didn't particularly want to, you know,
show everything.
Yeah, exactly. So
some things remain private.
That's right. You have to keep some things back. So.
Well, something must be working there, because you've been together now for how many years?
Since 2004.
Wow, 10 years now. Yeah. Congratulations for doing that. And are you still really into each other and everything?
She's not too bad. I'll keep her.
That's very good of you. And can I ask you, what are you working on now? Because you're also a blogger. Yeah?
I don't blog as much as I should. The constant, you know, guilt about my social media engagement or lack thereof. no, I'm working on a new project, but it's really new still, so I can't really give too many details about it yet, because unfortunately I work out what I'm writing during the process of writing as well. Huh. I'm not one of those people who knows what they're doing and then writes a plan and then produces a draft in, you know, 3 months or 6 months. I need to... it's a longer sort of
gestation process. So you sort of
process.
Write as you go, like you just keep writing.
I know what the idea is. So I know I'm writing something about the idea of leaving.
Fiction, non-fiction?
No, it's non-fiction.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So journeys.
Okay.
And leaving places and leaving ideas of who you thought you would be, I guess. But that's... if I try to talk about it, it doesn't...
It kind of ruins it, doesn't
it? Yeah, and it doesn't make sense. It won't make sense. So you just have to trust that it's going to be amazing.
Amazing. And you'll come back and talk about it.
I will.
And somewhere in all this, you know, last decade or so, you've also produced a PhD, yeah?
Mm.
What was that about?
So Ghost Wife was my PhD thesis.
Oh, fabulous.
So I wrote the book and a critical essay that examined... You know,
your approach.
My approach. I looked at how the use of the present tense in memoir affects the construction of the narrator.
Yep.
So, that was really great, because it gave me a concentrated, you know, 3 or 4 years to just get this thing written with
help. So you got a scholarship?
Yeah.
Scholarships are great, aren't they?
Are great.
They're really the thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you're now a published author, mm-hmm. And, you know, producing more. Are there any tips that you would give to someone, you know, starting out wanting to write? What are some good strategies, do you think?
Meet other writers who are at the level that you're at, but also people who are further along as well. But the most important thing you're going to need is other people to bounce ideas off and to share work with and to keep you going when you're depressed and you can't get, you know, your story published or you can't, you know, or something bad has happened. You need other people to act as your cheering squad, and you need to act as their cheering squad. So, you know, you can keep doing it because it takes an awful lot of persistence.
Mm. And is it survivable, or do you have another job?
I have a couple of other jobs. So yeah, I have a regular day job, and I work in I teach at universities casually as well. So it's not, you know, you cannot make a living as a writer in Australia. It's just impossible. So.
You must have a lot of focus to be able to do, you know, a couple of other jobs as well as work on something that's such a, you know, I guess a sort of isolating or, you know, highly focused activity.
Yeah, the focus is something you have to maintain. So I maybe haven't been as great as I would have liked over the past year, but I definitely have a new plan to renew my focus. And this new book is definitely something that I'm going to be spending time with from now on, but you know, why wouldn't you too? Because it's when it's the thing that rewards you and that you feel is the, you know, one of the most important things in your life, you just have to do it. So yeah, if people are writing, wanting to write, just keep doing it, and find the people who are going to make it bearable and sustainable for you.
And all worthwhile.
Yeah.
Michelle Dikanoski, thank you so much. I will see you on Friday night. Now, that event again, Undercurrents, you can find it on Facebook. Just look up, you know, Undercurrents, Hares and Hyenas. I think it starts at 8, or is it 7:30? Sorry, guys.
Sure.
I always get confused.
I think it could be a little bit earlier.
It could be 7:30. Mm. Look it up on Facebook. Kelly Gardner will be there with her new book, Goddess, which is pretty awesome. And Maxine Barnaba Clark's book, Foreign Soil, is also awesome. It's a totally amazing night where we look at really how do women tell history. You know, they're sort of have shades of historical, you know, stuff sort of floating through them, these three books. So be there. It's going to be a top night. This has been Lefty Pinkos. We're going to be back next week with another amazing show as ever.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.